Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hey there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. I am back with Kelsey today, and Kelsey and I have been coaching for the past few weeks and will continue to do so. We're sort of at the halfway point of her coaching experience. And if you haven't listened to the first few episodes, go back and listen, because we just dive right on in this episode. There's no recap, no anything. You'll hear that she feels a little bad. She did what she thinks and feels is a slip up. And so we worked through that, and she did an awful lot of work on her own. And I'm so proud of her for being this brave and sharing her story in the hopes that somehow, in some way, it helps you. Okay, we're recording. Hi, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
I had an interesting week.
Okay. Okay, how did it go? What happened?
I had a slip and I did some eating after I should have. But instead of just giving up on everything, I practiced my flexibility and I gave myself some grace and I moved forward instead of giving up.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about what you think constitutes a slip and what your actual goals are. So I know in your homework, I had asked if you had done the 3-year plan, and yes. And so you uploaded it. What's interesting is in 3 years, what you wrote for health is continuing all my good habits, weight training, jogging, and more of a workout in the morning. So what does that look like? What does Kelsey in 3 years look like? Does she have a specific aesthetic that you're trying to achieve?
I think I'd really like to be like boho. That would be cute.
Okay. So that's fashion wise. And then, and then what does a boho type person, how does she carry herself?
Relaxed and slow and graceful.
Okay.
And actually doing my hair maybe sometimes would be really lovely.
Okay. And then are you trying to hit a specific weight or a specific body type?
That one's tricky for me. I don't like to put numbers on it because okay. I feel like I get so discouraged. Like we talked about this week, the number went up on the scale and I got so discouraged.
Okay. So then let's talk about that. If you're not trying to hit a different weight and you know it makes you discouraged, why are you weighing yourself?
Accountability. So okay. That I can see if it's going up or down, and it makes me very aware of the choices that I'm making.
Okay. I like all of those things. And I like what you're saying, but as far as goals, what you've written down are closing the kitchen at 8 o'clock to help maintain binge eating and all of these things that have absolutely nothing to do with a scale. And so you're being accountable by closing the kitchen at 8 in the morning. You are sending me a recap email. So that's your accountability. And you know that scale weight is not linear. It can do with sodium, it can do with cycles. It can do with the gravitational force of the moon and like all of these different things. So why are you putting so much of, for lack of a better term, weight in what the scale says versus how you're feeling and whether or not you followed through on what you said you were going to do?
I guess it's 'cause it's a number. It's something, it's data to go by. It's just, well, as you said, it's a data point and that's all it is. So I feel like taking my emotions out of it would be better, but I took measurements to try and do it that way a little bit, but I feel like it's the best way every day to make sure that I'm making progress towards feeling better in my body.
Okay. Someone who feels good in their body, what does she do?
Eating well, running, doing yoga, reading books instead of social media.
Does a person who feels good in their body, is she able to carry groceries in without getting winded? Is she able to walk up a hill on kind of a hot day and not feel like she's going to collapse? Is she able to quickly reach around in the car and reach something from the back seat without knocking her back out?
Yeah, those do sound like healthy things. Yeah.
Are those things that you could start paying attention to and tracking versus hard numbers on the scale and even measurements? I mean, depending on if you're swollen or not and that kind of stuff, sometimes the measurements can also feel not quite as powerful. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can already tell that your face has changed and you're mad at me.
No, it's so weird about the number, and I wish that I didn't put so much weight on it. It's just I want to be thinner, I want to feel better in my body, and I wish
Okay,
that like the
so let's talk about that. So you just said I want to be thinner.
Yes.
So that is a goal for you.
Yeah.
But that's not anything that we've discussed yet, and we've now met three times, and it's not something you've written in anywhere. Does it seem so far-fetched that you're scared to actually acknowledge that that's a goal?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Is there a specific clothing size that you would prefer to be wearing?
Not specifically. I don't want to feel like, because I've been much bigger in the past and it affects your mobility so much. And I think it's more about mobility and confidence than it is about a certain number or size.
Okay. Do you, and this is going to sound weird, do you believe yourself? Do you believe these words you're saying, or are you saying them because those are the politically correct things for women to talk about? I mean, it's okay to be a little vain sometimes. So I don't want you to lie to yourself. If really you're like, no, I want a rockin' hot bod, but it sounds weird to say out loud because it seems so vain.
I got lost in a lot of transformation videos of like looking at women that look like that and trying to find people that are the same height as you and I. Like we're both 5 feet tall and seeing what the weight looked like on other bodies. And like, yeah, I'd like to be, it does have to do with how I look and how I present myself to the world. But I really like with the mobility and getting around, it's just, I don't want to be winded anymore. I want to be able to walk up the hill. And yes, I would like to look hot. That'd be great. But
Okay.
I've never wanted to be so skinny. I'm okay being a little curvy. I don't mind that.
Okay. So I like all those things. So what if instead of data points that, so first off, I agree with you. The more you weigh yourself, the less power that number has. and you can just sort of see it flux. It just is what it is. It just is what it is. And also what I have noticed and other women that I've worked with have noticed, sometimes there's a huge delay on the scale and it doesn't make logical sense. It just is what it is. Like you can do everything right and it stays the same or it goes up. And then in 10 days, for some reason, there's a big whoosh and then you lose a pound and a half quickly and it makes no sense. So that's good to know. The Happy Scale app, do you have that?
No, not yet.
Okay, so that's free. I'm pretty sure it's free. And you log daily and then it shows you trends. And so then you can get that really nice line that you want. That people like that goes down or stays the same, but it'll kind of smooth it out and show different fluctuations. One thing of seeing the scale, and I don't know how you're recording it or paying attention to it, but there's a difference between like this Wednesday versus that Wednesday, but also sometimes it can be higher or lower. So a happy scale will help smooth that out. But then also, if you don't want to do that, you can just on a sheet write 1 through 31. And then you're comparing each one from the month, and looking at it that way, versus daily fluctuations, because it's the daily fluctuations that messes with our brain, because we can't remember what it was last month at this time and that kind of stuff.
Right. Fitbit actually, it does do. I was annoyed by it the other day because it does an average and it kind of just shows you kind of generally
Okay.
what's going on, which is sounds a lot like Happy Scale. But I was annoyed with it the other day because I looked at it. I was like, well, I want to know exactly how much and blah, blah, blah. But then I know that that just gets me upset in the long run. So.
Okay, great. Okay, so okay, wonderful. I have a Fitbit also. So you're using the Fitbit app. Okay. Okay. Have you ever, do you log your food at all or not? Or no?
No, after Weight Watchers, I stopped tracking all of it because it was just such a like in the end negative experience for me, and like a lot of it's linked to my memories with my sister because we did that together, and
Mm.
that's why I gave up on wellness for a while because all of those memories were so tied in with her and the toxicity of like Can I tell you a funny story really quick?
Always.
Okay, so one of the things about that like So she would come over and she'd make sure that I was on the right track. And Ryan and I had pizza one time, and I knew she was coming and the doorbell rang, and I grabbed that box of pizza and I threw it out the back door so fast so that she wouldn't see it. And I like remember that all the time. And I think like it doesn't have to be like that. It's okay to, you know, have pizza every once in a while. You don't have to like shame or hide about it.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's interesting. So she decided or anointed herself more of like a parental role in this aspect and was making you feel bad instead of just being a peer or a friend.
Right. I should have been eating eggs, is what she always said.
Yeah, 'cause that's fine. Okay, got it. Got it. Got it. Okay. All right. I'm glad to know that history and I'm glad to know what your goal is and then the kind of goal underneath the goal. I like that you are using the 30-day tracker worksheet. As far as I'm concerned, accountability, that's what we're trying to do is shift habits and shift patterns for long-term sustainability versus all or nothing kind of black or white approach. Speaking of all or nothing, black or white approach, you brought that up quite a bit in your kind of recap notes. So what's going on with that? When you say you have a hard time with this, what do you mean?
Well, I think that that was very much when I had had. So what happened when I said I slipped is I had already eaten dessert and closed the kitchen at 8, and then my husband goes downstairs to play video games if I'm going to bed early, and I snuck back out and I ate the rest of the dessert after 8 o'clock. And usually with my back black and white thinking, I'm like, well, I screwed up. Like it's it I'm done. I might as well give up on the things that I've worked for so hard. I've let myself down and I give up. But instead, I showed myself some grace and I was like, this is just a learning experience. I can be flexible. I just keep telling myself constantly, I can be flexible. It doesn't have to, I don't have to break. I can learn and move forward.
Okay, so you're saying that in the past, so first off, wonderful that you slowed all of those patterns down and were able to kind of break them apart, and not use the idea of eating after a certain idea, after a certain time to kind of diminish and dismiss all of the other progress that you've done. In the past, does that mean that then you would just like continue eating for hours and hours, or you would give up altogether and not even start the next day, or a little bit of both?
If I was in my old thinking, I would have not got up for the walk the next day. I would have not done my workout. I would have isolated. And that's something that I do. And having to email you about it, like usually I'd be like, well, I screwed up. I'm just gonna not tell anybody. And then the next day I would make very poor choices with my eating and eat so much. But I didn't this time.
Wow. Okay, congratulations. That is phenomenal. And then also you really have a pattern of punishing yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And we're working on loving you.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I liked that you were reading Radical Acceptance. I pulled my book off the shelf this morning and was thumbing through it before we got on the call. So it has a lot of like Buddhist teachings and slowing down and lots of stories and different personal accountals. Well, they could be fictitious accountals. How are you reading it? Are you reading it front to back? Or are you just picking it up and reading a story and applying it to your life? Or how is it resonating with you?
I read mostly audiobooks. I'll read the cutie patootie romances, read them like physically read them, but all of the self-help I find that it just digests better if I listen to it in audio. I listened to the first probably quarter of that, and then I ran out of time on my Libby app, which is my library app. So then I switched to Psycho Cybernetics. But the thing that really resonated with me is when she was talking about she had had a miscarriage, and I've had miscarriages in the past. And the fact that her guru was like, it's your fault. You didn't show up. And I'm like, oh my God, that's horrible. But then I started thinking, like, I talk to myself like that. I'm that mean to myself all the time. And to hear someone else say it to her, and I was just like, just almost crying on my walk listening to this. And then she talks about the compassion and the acceptance and I want to cry now. It's just a really
Yeah.
beautiful book. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've had a miscarriage. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's interesting. I went on Monday for my yearly Pap smear or whatever it is, because that's super funsies. And the first
Yeah.
thing they say is, "Okay, so it looks like you've been pregnant 4 times and have 3 live births." And like, it's just so matter of fact. Like,
Yeah.
wow. Okay. Yeah, that's heavy. Then they're
They called.
like open up, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna open up for you. No, I'm gonna stay closed off. But
I had to have a conversation with my nurse practitioner about it because they called it a spontaneous abortion. And I was like, you can't say that to me. You can't. Those were some of like the worst year of my life.
I'm so sorry.
And for to even put the word abortion in it, I know it's a medical term. I said, you've got to have some care. With women like this, you can't call it that.
No.
And then I laid down and opened my legs.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
They also use the term I was told, and it still haunts me, is the fetus is no longer viable. I'm like,
That's a hard one.
yeah,
So when they say
like
that.
screw you. Like, what? Whoa. Yeah, it's horrible. I'm so sorry, Kelsey. There's so much lacking in the medical profession. I mean, we're very lucky in many, many, many ways. But also, it hasn't evolved to assist humans, like actual humans, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Kelsey. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. For the 30-day tracker, what? So you have so many different things you're working on. What are you tracking so then you can look back and feel proud of yourself for accomplishing it?
Okay, so for this 30-day, you know what? I wanted to start it so bad on July 1st and write that, but I hadn't even printed off the page until July 4th. So I was honest with myself and I was like, I will start it on July 4th.
Okay,
And
America's birthday. There we go. Yeah. As a Canadian, I'm sure you care.
country. My new habit is not smoking until 4 p.m. at the earliest. And why it is important to me, I want to be more present with my children, get some more stuff done, and lessen my amount smoked. And my thoughts are this is going to be better for my health and it's worth it. My feelings were anxious, uncomfortable, and optimistic. And I chose how I'm going to celebrate. And you said choose food on purpose. So I want to go out for dinner with Ryan after I accomplish this. And I can show you, I know nobody else can see it, but I've been writing the date in and
Yeah.
I have consistent days. This challenge seems, maybe I should have done the binge eating because this challenge seems easier for me, like more attainable.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about the binge eating. I know you had read Brain Over Binge.
Right.
I haven't read that one. The one I had read was like Stop Overeating and something about binging. And in this last show notes after we finished, I know I dropped in the books. In there. I found this packet in my drive that I'd sent to you. What were your thoughts on this? There's a lot of research in this packet, which is why I wanted to send it over, because at the end, there's like all of these different, here I'm scrolling down. You're right, nobody can see our screens. But all of the different, like this says it's adapted from the dialectical behavior therapy skills workbook, and then it tells you all these things. So there's other stuff that you can do, and it's essentially CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. So what were your thoughts on this? Was this helpful or annoying, or I already know this?
Some of the things I knew for sure, just from research and reading and stuff, but it's honestly just a really cute packet, the way that it's explained and everything. It was just like you could tell someone had written it that had been there or that really understood. And that's nice coming, like, and it's not just from a doctor that's like, well, you shouldn't binge eat because blah, blah, blah. And it was more of like, well, why do you think you do it? Where are you doing it? Like, what do
Yeah,
you.
so I thought that part was interesting also. So where your home, is that right for the most part? Okay.
Yeah, it had at the
Do
bottom.
you have certain feelings that no matter what, when it comes up, this is, I like is this is just inevitable?
For overeating, I think stress is one that I have a really hard time coping with, and anxiety is it's just happening in general, so that one I've kind of learned to. But I find it happens mostly when I'm like really stressed out about the children. The children are being like really loud, and I really don't want to yell, and I'm trying to express myself, and I just get so frustrated, and I will hide in the pantry and I just eat.
When they yell, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's mostly when they're like, I don't mind them being loud in the home. It's their home too. It's when they're yelling at each other and fighting, and I'm trying to get in between and I'm trying to use my calm voice, and things are just getting really heated really fast. And I'm just like, ah, is how it feels. And then I finally get them.
Okay. When they fight, you know cognitively. Siblings fight and argue. Okay. Right now, you're having a really hard time with your sister. On some level, do you think them fighting equals Kelsey's a bad mom? They are designated to not have a close relationship. I failed in some way. I'm uncomfortable with this.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've never related it. No, that's an intrusive thought.
No, well, I'm just trying to think, like why would entities, two entities, I mean, they came out of you, they are yours, but they shouldn't create this, I now need to go eat. Because when you look at them as separate things, I just wondered how you can separate yourself from that.
I think I need to separate myself more from the feelings of overwhelm. It's not so much what they're doing, it's like how I get overwhelmed and then I'm not dealing with the overwhelm inside. And one of the things it said there, surf the crave wave and deal with your hard emotions and sit for 15, 20 minutes and like let it pass through you and then like process your emotion. You don't have to intellectualize it. You just process it and let it happen to you. And I'd like, maybe I could do that in the pantry. I could just stand in the pantry, have a little minute away from them and just breathe and like it's gonna be okay.
Instead of the pantry, is there a different place in your house you can go hide
I
and
could hide in the bathroom, yeah.
light a candle, like do something physical?
Yeah. Well, they had such a list. Oh my gosh, the extensive list they had at the end of that packet about self-care, pleasant activities, and rewards. Because I used to reward myself with food a lot. So that's almost like linked as a, what is it, a serotonin. Like you get that little jump off of it. And they had, gosh, I bet you there's 100 things here you could do instead of eating.
So one of the women that I worked with, she liked finger food, salty food. So and got a lot of satisfaction from licking each finger. So instead, we slowed it down where she went and just painted her nails. And if they were already painted, she would just put the clear on top, because
Yeah.
that would slow it down to at least 15 minutes. And then so obviously figure out what works for you and that kind of stuff. What I was trying to unravel a little bit is if you feel anxious when they're arguing, and it doesn't sound like you feel anxious when they're arguing, you feel overwhelmed. So it's like a sensory thing.
Yeah, the sensory, yeah. And then like if I'm trying to cook dinner at the same time and the hood fan is going, I feel like so many people understand me on that when the hood fan is going and then everybody's yelling and you're just like, ah.
Okay, so this is around dinner time, witching hour kind of thing.
Well, it could happen any time of day, but yes, it does happen a lot at dinner time. When I'm trying to focus on cooking, it's always when I'm trying to focus on something and then they fight and then I'm just like, oh my God.
Okay, so that's why for me doing the crock pot early in the morning was helpful and useful. Is that helpful and useful at all for you?
Yeah, so what I've started doing is I like prep a lot of it in the morning. And I've pre-cooked all of my proteins and like I'll cook a whole chicken in the crock pot and then it's done by the end of the day. I don't have to worry about that. I just have to cut up the vegetables if I didn't already do it. So I'm cutting a lot of time out of it. I've cut my cooking time in the evening in half, but they still figure out ways to fight with each other.
And how old are they right now?
5 and 8.
5 and 8. Okay. Have you talked to them? I mean, it sounds so silly, but hey, every night at 5 o'clock, you have a freak out, and it really is starting to affect me. What can we do to keep you from fighting while I'm cooking dinner? And then have them come up with their own list of ideas that they can do. Would that
I've
work?
definitely had conversations like that with Finnegan. Theo, he doesn't really, Theo's been diagnosed with ADHD, so it's hard for him to like follow through on a plan as hard as we try to like really discuss it. Even when we're discussing it, his mind is just somewhere else. He's thinking about something else. So I don't think that I could really communicate with him about that too deeply. But having Finnegan on board and even just separating them and Finnegan understanding and like going to hang out in his room while I'm cooking is like a wonderful deterrent.
All right. When you start your day and you're calm and you're content and you've done your journaling and you're going for walks and you're stretching and you have all these great ideas. And then when you think ahead to the evening hours, are you already worried or apprehensive?
I get a lot of morning anxiety. Like, I'm trying to write it all out. I'm trying to plan everything, but then I'm thinking about the things that I need to do a lot. Like, I'm thinking about, oh, what dinner gonna be like? And, you know, will I be able to fit this in? And at what time am I? And I'm constantly ahead of myself. I'm constantly thinking ahead of myself and not really living in the moment.
Okay. Have you filled out one of the a time blocking worksheet?
Oh, yes. Yep. I've done a lot
Okay.
of those.
Okay. And how is that when you're actually time stamping things? Is that helpful?
Yes, because I know that everything's going to get done and that I've got a grip on it, but I'm like, I look at it so much. I'm like peeking, like, oh, okay, I know I've got to do that, but I'm not going to do it until 1 p.m. And I schedule downtime, which is nice, but I peek at it so much and I'm just constantly like, oh, I'm going to have to get that. Like, if I have an appointment late in the day, my whole day is like, oh my God, I've got to get to that appointment. When am I going to make it on time? Am I going to make sure that I'm ready?
Okay. And has it always been that way?
Yeah, I think so. For most of my life, yeah. I guess when I wasn't in charge, what can you do, right? Like your parents get you to your appointments when they get you to your appointments, but when it was up to me, yeah, it's stressful. I'm thinking ahead.
Did you used to be late for things?
My stepmom is notoriously late and it drives me nuts. So my dad's military. They're actually both military, which is funny because they're so different in their times. But pardon me. If you're not 10 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late, is what my dad always told me. And I've like deep down, if you're not on time, you're wasting people's time and it's just such a disrespect to them. Like I feel that like deep inside, like you've got to show up when you said you'd show up, and I'm so nervous of letting people down like that.
You show up early for our Zoom calls.
15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I get the notification. Kelsey is in your Zoom room. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. So, okay. So being places early and your thought process of you don't want to waste people's time is I don't even want to say it's correct or incorrect. It just is what it is. And it's not hurting anything right now. But the idea that if you're starting to think about like a 3 o'clock appointment at like 10 a.m., how can we alleviate a little bit of that stress from you? Because I mean, you've got a lot of your life. You still have two thirds of your life left to live. And this seems like it's causing you undue stress.
It for sure does. What I've been doing to try and help myself is in the morning, I do my journaling and then I pull up my phone and I do a daily to-do list and it's in order of what I need to get done. So like today it specifically said drop the boys off at 9:20 to the Hanoveries and coaching call at 10 o'clock, and then 3:30 down the line, and I'm gonna do my deep cleaning, and I've got it all scheduled. So that's how I'm trying to help myself, and it definitely takes away a little bit in the morning of I'm like, at least I have it written down, and I'll look at that list quite a few times during the day to make sure that I'm not gonna miss it. I don't know
Okay.
what else I could do more to help myself.
Okay. I don't know yet either. Let me think about that for a little while. I didn't realize that was causing stress because when you write in for like time management of like where you want to be, it says you're fine. You write, where do you want to be in 3 years? You say still doing all these things. Like, but that doesn't actually sound correct. What is probably correct is you hope to be a little bit more relaxed.
Yes. Well, I hope to still be doing all the things I'm doing and doing it less anxiety filled.
Okay. When you worked with your therapist in the past, did you talk about anxiety?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the main things we talked about.
Okay. Okay. And was it helpful? Is it helpful? What were the suggestions?
Planning ahead for sure, and just being present and box breathing when I was feeling
Yeah.
just totally at a loss. I started listening to like Ram Dass, who's
Yeah.
like, I am loving awareness, and it
Okay.
just like brings me back down to a manageable level.
Okay.
More of like in the moment dealing with it, but not like, what can I do to avoid it? I just I well, I did CBD for a while and that did cut it down big time.
Okay. Hi there, Steph here. Okay, we're going to end this podcast recording. Obviously, Kelsey and I still go on to talk, and you'll hear the second half of our session three conversation in next week's episode. But this is the end of 201. A few things came up here that I want to point out to you. First off, if you don't have that daily journaling worksheet and time blocking worksheet, download it, use it. It's an amazing tool. That's at stephanieoday.com/daily, DAILY. Yes, getting it and downloading it means that you're on my email list. I'm a nice person. You can read my emails. But if you are feeling like that's too much, I don't want to subscribe to an email list. I'd rather you have the worksheets than not have the worksheets. So go ahead, subscribe, download them, and then unsubscribe. It's fine. I still love you. It's all good in the hood. Two things, two podcast episodes I want to point out also for you. 37, how to find your purpose. Kelsey and I are going to continue to work on this both online and offline, but she is still getting a lot of gold stars from being productive, from being on time, for doing things. Like she's still trying to do things the right way. And so we're going to continue to work. But I want that finding your purpose, figuring out who you are, if someone else isn't defining you, or if you're not trying to live up to someone else's expectations, but you are just you on your own. That's a great episode. And then 48, ironically, is called How to Be More Productive. One thing that I find fascinating is Kelsey, when it comes to time management, she feels stressed. But in 3 years from now, she wants to keep doing all of the things that she's doing, just do it easier. And she's not necessarily subtracting from her to-do list. And the first step of slow living is to declutter all that's not working for you. And as of right now, she does not want to declutter anything from her to-do list. So we'll keep working on that. But for you as a listener, it's something to pay attention to. Okay, pretty people, as always, consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you are wonderful. Be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.